Thank you for listening to the Voice Ministries podcast. To get more information about Voice, or if you were blessed by this message and want to sow into our ministry, go to our website at voiceministries.com.
Before we started worshiping, I was going to speak a little bit about Israel tonight and our relationship with Israel. But a dear friend of mine, Corey Stark, came and spoke this Sunday at Voice and laid out in an hour an amazing understanding of our relationship with Israel. So much so that I had copies of his message in the back on the table. And I wanted to make sure that all of you got a copy of that message so that you would understand. Because sometimes people talk about Israel and it's like, what is that Israel thing when I'm going through what I'm going through? And I can understand that. But it's so important that we have a zeal for what God is zealous for. And he's zealous for Israel. He's zealous for his people. And he's zealous for you. His desire tonight is to apprehend your heart. Like always. You guys walked in here tonight and you chose a seat to sit in. Tonight you have an opportunity to make another choice. Do you want to live a complete God-centered life? Do you want to choose that? And I think that life is just always about choices and making decisions. And so tonight, I want to encourage you, whether you've lived in a life walking with Christ, if you're a new Christian, if you don't even know Jesus, that you make a decision that will change the rest of your life. But also as a Christian, as a man and a woman of God, that you make a decision tonight, even tonight, why not tonight, to not be normal in your Christianity. But to be radical in your walk with God, to know him. Why not tonight that you make that kind of decision that changes everything in your life? The enemy has so many ways to keep you in the place of trials so that your focus is more on your trials than the one who can take you through your trials. We sing the song, I'd rather have Jesus than silver or gold. I'd rather have Jesus than fortunes untold. And tonight I believe God, in this small group, wants each and every one of us, including myself, to say, would I rather have Jesus than anything this old world can offer me today? My old flesh can offer me today. My old tendencies of looking back and not looking ahead to all that God offers and all that he has. I don't want my prayer life to be predictable. I don't want to get in a certain way of praying and then I'm done. I want my prayer life to enter me into the presence of God. So that my life is completely, radically changed because I live for his presence. I really live for him. What if tonight we got so serious about saying, I want everything that keeps me from his presence to be dealt with in my life. I don't want anything in my life that will keep me from his presence anymore. All you need is a yes. All you need is to ask that question. All you need is to just get your heart before the Lord and say, Lord, I want you more than anything. Help me. The Lord says that in the midst of your trials, that all things work to the good for those who love God and are called according to his purpose. Romans 8:28. We know this to be a truth. It says all things. So when I'm in a trial of my flesh, or maybe because I'm angry at God or I'm angry at somebody else, God is telling me that I can take this trial and allow this trial to deepen my intimacy with Him and my heart dependent upon Him, being centered in Him. That even in the midst of a trial, He's going to use it to bring me in a closer relationship with Jesus. What is your purpose? What is your purpose? Ask yourself, what is your purpose in Christ? Who has He called you to be? Who's He called you to be? Are you living in what you believe about yourself? Are you living in what God says about who you are? And that's the battle, that we begin to see what He says about us, and we take action. We take decision. And the greatest decision you could make is to know Christ and to lay your life down for Him. In everything you do, it's great that we worship. Matter of fact, dying to self and praying leads us into that place where we begin to bust out in worship. I mean, when we come from a prayer with God, the Almighty, it should break us into a place of worship. And so all I'm saying, as I'm looking in the mirror on a daily basis, I'm saying, I do not want to remain the same. I want to go deeper in the things of God. I want to know Him in such a way that nothing is going to shake me, that no trial, that I can persevere. Now, I don't want to freak you guys out tonight, but I want to give you a little perspective. Again, I'm not trying to instill any kind of fear here, because you know and I know the love of God casts out fear in a dynamic way. And when you're captured by His love, fear cannot have its way no matter what you face in your life. But I want you to think about even our society. I want you to, again, they never saw the Holocaust coming the way that it came. I have a lot of friends in Rwanda, and I've been to Rwanda, Africa. And I've been to the genocide, where all the bodies still are buried. I've seen the films. I've seen churches that got a lot of the people in their churches only to hand them over to a government and to be killed. I have a friend who laid at the bottom of a mass amount of bodies, and she pulled herself out. And she showed me all the machete marks on her back and her head. And she knows Jesus today, and she has children, and she's living and alive and well in Christ. But they never saw it coming to that degree. And so when we look at America, and we look at the evil that's been happening, and we say, oh my, well, evil is evil, and it's going to have its way. But again, do we realize the great sovereignty of God by not pulling His hand away from us? Because if He did, we would have at each other. And so that's how much we need Him and need to be close to Him. In our society, you know, if the gas prices, I'll give you a little scenario. If the gas prices go way high, and the trucks can't deliver the food anymore because they can't even afford to do it. And all of a sudden, there's no food in the grocery stores. In 3 days, they'd be out of food. In 3 days, what do you think would happen? There would be riots before long. There could be martial law before long. I'm just throwing it out there to you. Because if we don't live in a place of knowing that everything that I have, everything that I am, trust in the Lord and Savior Jesus Christ, that I live from a place of desire and not from a place of fear or pressure that's put on me by people and things around me, that I live from a point of desire. What is your desire? What has God called you to do? It is time to get sober about that and get yourself prepared so that in any season of blessing or despair, that you are so anchored in a God-centered life that nothing can shake you from that foundation because you've chosen rightly. I just feel this in my bones, you know, in my spirit, to encourage you in your destiny. Because listen, God, Jesus Christ, the Holy Spirit, are you guys listening? Listen, are you listening? The Holy Spirit, God Almighty, has a storyline for your life that's better than any storyline that you could live out or anybody could put on you to live out. He's got a storyline for your life. And you have to say yes to it. And I'm encouraging you. I hope you don't feel like I'm, oh, guy, will you shut up there? No, I'm trying to encourage you to say, this is who you are. This is why he died for you. Don't sell out to what you believe about yourself unless it's through the renewed mind of truth and light from God and you know who you are and who you're called to be. God wants to encourage you to never, 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 ever give up and to know him. And to love him. So what do you choose tonight? What do you choose tonight? Will you choose your life in Christ? Will you anchor yourself in Jesus like you've never anchored yourself in him before? Will you say, I want a God-centered lifestyle in everything that I do? Because it can change tonight. Are you flowing in your passion? Are you flowing in your purpose? And if you are, that's awesome. Tell your story. Tell people about your Jesus. Let them know who you are. Let them know what he is in you. How many of you have a story in this room about Jesus and what he's done for you? How many of you are you sharing it? Get it out there. Let them know it. They need to hear it. You can't keep that inside anymore. The reason sometimes we begin to get complacent is because we no longer testify of all the greatness God has done in our life. Share your life. Do you want to be able to walk into a store and impact people and be led? I had a friend of mine today come up to me and say, I was driving by the hospital and the Lord said that I needed to pull into this park. And so he pulled into this park and he started praying and he saw a man at a bench. And the Lord said, go over and pray for that man. Now, he goes over and prays for the man. And the man's freaked out because he doesn't speak English. But the Lord, as soon as he said Jesus, the man said, oh, yeah, yeah, Jesus. And so he prayed for him and they hugged each other and they went on their way. That's what I'm saying. Can your life be interrupted? Can you change your lifestyle for Jesus? Can you allow yourself to get out of some habits and let God begin to flush you out into testifying about how good he is? How many like to be in a dentist chair? Okay, that was one person back there. All right, we'll talk and we'll do some counseling with you later. I was in a dentist chair for 2.5 hours yesterday. I've been putting this off for a while, and I found out what I needed to find out. It wasn't good. Some of it was okay. But soon as I told the lady that started prepping me, she said, well, what do you do and who are you? And I started sharing. She goes, you got to be kidding me. You wouldn't believe what that ministry has done for my family. And she started sharing some things and I didn't recognize her. The other lady comes in, the assistant to the doctor, the dentist. And the next thing you know, we're talking about Jesus. And we're talking about Israel. And I start sharing with her. And she starts sharing with me. And so I probably should have been there an hour and a half. It was 2.5 hours. I'm sharing Jesus. And I'm saying that not for this. I'm saying that because it's busting out. And I can't keep it in. And I've lived my life where I've kept it in. And you have nothing to be ashamed of when you have Jesus. You do not have to neglect saying his name and speaking about him and who he is and what he's done. And so tonight, I wanted you to dream again. I wanted to encourage you about who you are in Christ. And don't settle for less. And don't settle for the lies. And don't settle for a certain way of talking. You know, be negative. Come on. Address the negativity. Speak life. If God breaks through in a moment and you have a dynamic breakthrough in your car, in your home, here tonight, wherever it is, establish a lifestyle that can facilitate the breakthrough that in the moment you have with God. Don't go right back to the same old things you did after a breakthrough. That's why you end up in the same old place. And your affirmation, the love and the affirmation you receive from Him, nothing can match that. But you have to position yourself to listen. Get out of your old religious ways, Bob Deering. Get out of it. Let everything be crucified. Don't lust after women or things of this world and vice versa. Live a holy life before God and watch what can happen. Watch what can bust out. Don't receive those comments. Oh yeah, you Christians got nothing but a bunch of hypocrites. You know when somebody asks me that question or says that, yeah, Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. You know what I say to them? Have you lived the life? Well, have you lived the life? Have you lived for Jesus any period of time and tried to deal with all the stuff that's been done to you since you were a little baby? And all the sin and the world that we live in and all the hurt and the pain and then try to live a life with Christ. Have you done that? Well, no. Then you do that before you ever say that Christians are a bunch of hypocrites. It's not easy to walk this life out, but it's worth it. It's what life is about. And your decision to say yes to the Lord and give Him everything you got will either fill your life with abundance, or your decision to not follow Christ will fill your life with emptiness. So what are you going to do tonight? What is your desire? Find it. What is your calling? We're meant to fellowship together. We're meant to walk in our destinies. See, I'm not interested. I really am not. And you might think I'm lying. I'm not interested in how many people come here on Tuesday night. You know what I'm interested in? I'm interested in those people that find who they are in Christ and find their passion and they make a difference. And so if we can spark a fire in you tonight in some way, shape, or form that you would say, oh, I've been coming to church forever, but tonight is a different night. I'm saying yes. That's what I'm looking for. When these beautiful people lead worship, and they are, and when they lead us into that place to get our gaze upward, the purpose of that is to get our gaze upward, not on them. I feel like taking this pulpit and going to the back of the room and preaching to the back of your heads. Because really, that's what we should be doing. It's not about looking at me or being, you know, looking at people on the platform. Those men and women have great judgment coming to them because they've called to be in those positions of leadership. They do have, if they've been given authority to be in that, it's of the Lord and there's a great responsibility. But the authority is that the sheep, the men and women of God, would have a divine relationship with Jesus. If you look at everything from Genesis to Revelation, think about this. Discipline, anything. If you start reading the scripture, you start reading, okay, take a verse tonight when you go home and read that verse. See what you discern and what you think. Then read that verse from a point of relationship. From relationship. All things work to the good for those who love God and are called according to His purpose. All things work to the good for those who love God, who have this relationship with Him. That they know no matter what happens, His love will never, ever fail me. And based upon this relationship, it doesn't matter if it's a storm or if it's a beautiful sunny sunrise in the morning. Everything is good because all things work to the good What's this trial about? What's this pressure I'm feeling from myself and from people and society? This pressure is to get you completely dependent upon your intimacy with Christ. Every pressure. What does he say in James? It's James, and he says, when you fall into what? Various trials. So there's all kinds of trials, right? Coming at you. When you fall into various trials, they do what? They bring you into a place of perfection. They perfect you into intimacy with God. And so really, when we know the Word and we allow the Holy Spirit to have its way, God takes away every excuse. I haven't said this for a while. I was probably 9 years old. And I was, my dad had a 64 Chevy, and he was changing the spark plugs. And I was in the garage. He always worked on all kinds of cars, helping people out. He had a great heart that way. And I was sitting on this stool. I still have that stool in my garage. I was sitting on that stool. And I was holding the light. You guys got it? Holding the light? You know what? Changing the spark plugs because you can't see down in there? I'm nine. Okay. What do you think was going on with the light? Okay. The light was everywhere, man. And he like three or four times sternly, hold that light. You know, I start. I know it's probably hard to believe, but I was a very hyper young kid. Those old movies, you know those old movies? Oh, thank you. Those old movies, you know, that no sound, nothing. You should just see me. I'm just bouncing off walls everywhere. I mean, it's like the guys, you know, everybody's laughing. Look at Robert. So my dad finally grabs the light. He's so frustrated. He's worked the whole day at work, and he's trying to get his 9-year-old boy. He's got two daughters. I'm the youngest. I'm the baby. And he's trying to get me to hold the light. And in his anger and in his rage, he grabs the light, and with his hand, he slaps me across the face. And he says to me, you're never going to do anything if you can't even hold a flashlight. You're never going to amount to anything if you can't even hold a flashlight. Get out of here. Now, I don't want you to think my dad was an ogre. He was at times, but he got saved a month before he died, okay? So that's the good story. I led him to Jesus with his head in my belly, weeping and crying. But that moment of that 9-year-old boy, because of the words that were spoken over my life, I believed most of my life because of words. So the old saying, sticks and stones, that is the biggest lie ever, because words hurt. And when you have children, I can't tell you how many times I've confessed and asked the Lord to forgive me, or for them to forgive me, for words that came out of my mouth that I should have never spoken because I know it would damage them. And so I lived my life thinking, you're never going to be anything. You'll never amount to anything. Do you see how that lie functioned in my life and got hold? And so I believed it. I didn't know I was going back to a 9-year-old memory that was told to me that I accepted and embraced. But it impacted my whole life. I didn't know that that was the stronghold deep down inside that I was believing. I didn't understand my behavior when people would say things similar to that about me and why I would go into this deep depression and hurt and choose alcohol and drugs, because I was doing what? I was trying to put out the pain that my daddy said, you're never going to be anything. When God spoke to me and went back to that memory with me, and it says that your mind will be renewed. It says in Romans 12, 1 and 2, by the renewing of your mind, you're able to do what? To walk in the perfect will of God. So I was a new creature in Christ, but when Jesus came and spoke to my mind concerning that issue, boom, it went away. And I've never felt that way. And things have happened that should have made me feel that way, and it's gone. You know why? because of truth, because of relationship with God. The stuff I'm trying to give you tonight is for you to say yes tonight. To say yes tonight to what God has for you and not allow yourself to believe a lie. To know it's the greatest decision you could ever make. And the Lord wants you to walk in that. Are you flowing in your passion? I got a bunch of questions. Are you flowing in your purpose? What is your desire? If you don't know what your desire is, find it. Find it. Because if somebody tries to plug you into a ministry role and you don't have a desire from God to do that, you're just kind of going through the motions. Find what the desire that God has put into you, the storyline that God has for you, and walk it out. What is your desire? A lifestyle breakthrough. What do you believe about yourself? Tonight, your life could change, and there would be no looking back tonight. I've already told you God's storyline for you. I want to encourage you to get free from everything that keeps you from the presence of God. In Romans chapter 5, it starts out saying, therefore, having been justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ, through whom also we have access by faith into this grace in which we stand and rejoice in hope of the glory of God. That word hope means certainty. That we are certain. We are certain of the glory of God, the goodness of God. And not only that, but we also glory in tribulations, knowing that tribulation produces perseverance, and perseverance character, and character hope. Now, hope does not disappoint, because the love of God has been poured out in our hearts by the Holy Spirit who was given to us. Verse 6, for when we were still without strength, in due time Christ died for the ungodly. For scarcely for a righteous man will one die, yet perhaps for a good man someone would even dare to die. But God demonstrates his own love toward you and I. And that while we were yet still sinners, Christ died for us. And much more than having now been justified by his blood, we shall be saved from wrath through him. Would you guys just stand with me? And I just want to keep like praying. And I want Michael just to feel to be led. I want you to just, you know, allow the Lord to begin to speak to you, the Holy Spirit to speak to you, that no matter what trial you're going through, no matter what's happening in your life, Jesus needs to be your anchor. Your life needs to be centered on Christ. We come here to worship. We come here to be encouraged, but we come here also to be challenged. Don't fall into normal Christianity or Christendom as we've known it. Fall in the place of being absolutely, radically in love with Christ. That every day you make decisions based upon this relationship. It's not based upon other relationships. It's based upon this relationship with him that affects all the other relationships. And when you make your decisions with him, they will be blessed. They will persevere. They will overcome. Why do you think Paul got to that place in Philippians that he said, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me? Because he learned that in Christ, all things, whether he was suffering, whether he was victorious, where he was casting out demons, whatever he did, he could be in that place of being an overcomer. I can do all things because I know him and he knows me. The world is a trap. Flattery is a trap. You don't hear nothing about flattery in the scripture. People will try to flatter you to get you to move away from your strong, deep, God-given convictions. Be careful. It's good to encourage one another. But know this. You don't need flattery to survive in your life. You just need Jesus. And if you find yourself, when somebody says something, you're just grabbing onto it, let Christ fill those voids. Because if the enemy knows he can yank your chain around in your life, he'll do it. Through just one little word spoken to you. And all of a sudden, you're like a sheep being led to slaughter. Your identity cannot be found in any other relationship than with Christ. No woman, no man is going to make you. No job is going to make you. The only thing that's going to make you who you are is Jesus and Him alone. And that is our pursuit. That's our goal. I'm sorry it's a little hot in here tonight. But that's nothing compared to what He went through on the cross. Oh, well, thanks a lot. I was enjoying my heat wave. You know, I mean, I don't want you to, you know, don't complain about anything. Just know, oh, Jesus, I know Him. I can sweat a little bit. I can endure a little bit. But you don't know what they said about me. Jesus does. And Jesus has a word for you. And guys, gals, if this here isn't part of what's going on in your life, you'll never, ever be able to maintain breakthrough. Because it says that this word is a light onto your path. So if you have a breakthrough, how do you move forward and stay on the path? It's only through the Word. It's only through the Word. This has to be. It doesn't have to be a lot. It can be a little. Just a verse or two to meditate on. You don't need to read all the Bible in 3 months to be spiritual. All you need to do is to meditate on the truth that it brings. And watch it begin to impact your life. I encourage you, let breakthrough happen tonight. Let breakthrough happen tonight. Let God speak to you tonight. Maybe He already has. What's your testimony? If I pointed one of you out, I'm not going to, don't worry. But if I pointed one of you out and said, testify. 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 Hey, next Tuesday, we're going to Walmart. And we're going to testify. Are you ready? You got to ask yourself, are you ready? Can you do it? Are you willing to? It may be the greatest thing that ever happened to you. To all of a sudden open up your heart. And whether they love you, receive what you say, or reject you, you're in that place with Jesus. You didn't beat them over the head. I remember in India one time that, true story. I know some of you probably think, yeah, all right. True story. A young lady was possessed with a demon. And she was in the front area. We had just got through doing worship. And she was manifesting a demon. Really strong. And so the pastors were up there over her. Just screaming at her. I mean, in Jesus' name. Just screaming at her, you know. And dealing with these demons. Now, let me just share this with you. I want to mess up your paradigm a little bit. I've had pastors that I've counseled, pastors of big churches manifest demons. I just thought I'd share that with you. Because you see, the demon isn't the problem. It's holding on to the stronghold. When the demons are like mosquitoes, when they leave, you got to get truth to the stronghold and then the person's free. Where there's strongholds, demons traffic. They have access. I know that might, you know, stretch a few of you. But I remember the pastor saying, what just happened? And I said, don't worry. It's okay. You know, no, what just happened? I said, you just manifested a demon. Really? You're not going to tell anybody, are you? I said, no, don't worry. And you'll never know who it is. Not from around here. So anyway, the girl's in front and she's manifesting a demon and the pastors start literally screaming at her, and they take the word of God, and they start beating her over the head with a Bible. True story. The whole place is, you know, because soon as intercessors and people get in the midst of a manifestation, everybody feels like they got to do something right away, fix something. So my friend and I, Dan Thorolson, we went up to the gal and said, and they allowed us because we were guests. I said, could we work with her for a little bit? Yeah. And so we never raised our voice. Nothing. We spoke in a regular volume. And we definitely bound up the enemy at that moment. And we asked Jesus to come and speak truth to her. And we didn't allow the enemy to act up in any way, shape, or form. And we told him that we would send him to the Lord Jesus and he will deal with you as he sees fit. So shut up in Jesus' name. That was it. Authority, direction. That lady, all of a sudden, Jesus came and started speaking to her. That lady got radically saved at the altar. And they and she stood up. And you know the Hindus, you know, they have the little thing on their, the little jewel. I'll never forget it as long as I live. She took that, when she met Jesus, she took that little thing off and threw it across the room. And the whole room just rejoiced because Jesus showed up. All right? Now here's the kicker. We're in Bombay leaving. And I'm walking to our flight. And all of a sudden I see this lady beaming at one of the little concession stands. And she's screaming for us to come over. It's her. And this is about a week or two later. And she's saying, oh, Jesus. All she could talk about is Jesus. Because Jesus showed up and came. This is who we serve. This is the one that we can trust. This is the one who can deal with anything we're dealing with. And just because somebody is struggling with spiritual warfare, that doesn't mean that they're bad at all. It means that the enemy is highly invested in getting them away from knowing Christ because they got a great calling and destiny in the Lord. To the degree that you have the enemy come against you many times is in the degree of the level of what God has called you to. So we got to get into relationship. Church is awesome. He loves the church. We've got to be in the relationship every day. So how can we every day increase our intimacy with him? If I was you and with me, I want everything that I've learned that isn't of his heart, that is religious, completely sifted out of me. And I pray that that would happen to you. I'll tell you a story. I don't know what I'm doing tonight, do I? I think I do. I think he does. I'll tell you a little story. When I taught Zechariah 11 this past week, it talks about how in Zechariah 11 that he was given up for 30 pieces of silver. Okay? And you guys know the story, right? Judas was paid what? 30 pieces of silver, right? 30 pieces of silver in that culture was paid to a slave that was injured and no longer could do his job. So, and it says that Jesus fired three shepherds in Zechariah, the Sadducees, the Pharisees, and the scribes. And so, they said, they chose Caesar as king, and they paid Judas 30 pieces of silver because they considered Jesus an injured slave that no longer could perform his duty. And he would be paid off and go away. Now I want you to think about this. Jesus was always setting up the religious. What did Judas do? He came back and he took the 30 pieces of silver. And who did he throw it at? Them. And he's saying, no. And Jesus in a way is saying, I'm not the worthless one. You are the worthless ones. Because you've chosen religion and you've missed your day of visitation when he came. Amen. Isn't that amazing? Amen. That's in Zechariah. It was told in Zechariah that this would come to pass. God is for us. And you are not worthless. You are great in his eyes. I love that story because of the fact that how many times did Jesus heal people on the Sabbath? Remember how the scripture, and it was the Sabbath, and it was the Sabbath. Why did he do that? It was a setup. He was dealing with their religiosity. Is it good to heal someone or take, you know, yes. And then he would do it and it would drive them nuts. God loves the church. He loves many denominations. This is not to set you against anything. This is to set you in intimacy with Christ, believing and knowing that it's all about a relationship and that you would shine brightly to whoever you're exposed to, anywhere, any place, anytime, the goodness of Jesus. If you have not a relationship with Christ, I don't care how much knowledge you have of the Word, you've got to know him. And so tonight, let's ask to know him in a greater way. Michael, just lead us wherever you want to go. I just want to pray for a little bit. You know, the meeting place was always meant to be different every Tuesday. You were never able, wasn't meant for you to figure it out what was going to happen. That's what we always pray. Lord, just whatever happens, you know, let it happen. So, Lord, I ask that even tonight, that any trials that we're going through as a people, any offense that we've had, even toward your leadership, that you would help us to encounter your heart. Tonight, I want all of us just to ask, just even with eyes closed for a moment so you're not distracted, just ask the Lord to encounter his heart tonight, his love and his power and his leadership to overcome every trial in your life, that you would not live in fear, yielding to offense, but looking to Jesus. It says in James 1:20, for the anger of a man does not achieve the righteousness of God. So help us, God, to respond to any anger we've had from pressures. Accomplish your purposes in us. Have your way, God. May our love and confidence in your leadership, Jesus, be walked out in every area of our life. You said of Abraham that when he offered Isaac, you said, now you know what it is to fear God, the beginning of wisdom. We lay it all down. We surrender it. I just want you to just ask as you're just standing there. Ask him to help you to be closer to him. That tonight would be a night that you would lay hold of your core identity that's found in the love of God. That you would press in for the Spirit of God to have breakthrough in your life. That you would press in tonight, that the Spirit of God would leave you, lead you through any solution that you need to have and problem that you have. That all things are possible with Christ. That we will not live in a bitter way, but in a better way with you, Lord. That we would align our hearts with you tonight. Yes, Lord. Just want you to say yes to him. If you feel a yes in your heart, just say, yes, Lord. Yes, Lord. I want your will for my life. Yes, God. I say yes. We say yes tonight. I'm going to help you. On the count of three, just say yes. One, two, three. Yes, Lord. I'm going to give you another chance. One, two, three. Yes, Lord. Your will, your heart, your character in us, God. Overcomers. We ask that tonight would be a change of long time attitudes we've had. That would change tonight in Jesus' holy name. We plead the blood of Jesus over our lives. We bind every spirit that's not of a divine nature and say, you must keep silent in Jesus' name. And we ask God for the highway of heaven to have its way in our lives. That we would understand the eternal weight of your glory and your goodness. That it's working in us. That you said, Paul said, our light affliction is working for us in the eternal weight of his glory. In 2 Corinthians. Thank you, God. Let's just worship him now. Let's just worship him. Yes, Jesus. Let's just worship. Yes, God, come in. Have your way with us tonight. Blessed are the pure in heart, for they shall see God. Thank you, Lord. It's your Jesus. Do you good to clap your hands a little bit? You're doing it for him. Get ready for a promotion. Yes, Lord. We love you, Jesus.
What does it mean to say? Is it more than just a prayer to pray? More than just a way to heaven. What does it mean to be his? To be formed in his likeness. Know that we have a purpose. To be something like in the world, in the world. To be something like in the world.
Yes, Lord.
To be something like in the world, in the world.
To let them know. Even tomorrow, we ask God that you would set up a divine appointment that we would be able to testify of your goodness. We pray it tonight for everyone in this room.
What does it mean to be saved? Is it more than just a prayer to pray? More than just a way to heaven?
Yes.
What does it mean to be here? To be born.
Purpose in you.
Say salt.
To be salt and light in the world.
Yes.
In the world. To be salt and light in the world. To be salt and light in the world. In the world. To be salt and light in the world.
Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Let the redeemed of the Lord say so. Say so. Say so.
Help us to tell our story. Lord, we say yes to reflect your love, to reflect who you are.
Show the world heaven.
Yes, Lord.
Jesus.
It's all because of you, Lord. You're the one who sets us free. You're the one who calls us into our destiny. You're the one who provides purpose, passion, and desire. Fueled by your love. Fueled by your truth. We say yes tonight. That we ain't going back. We're moving forward in your heart.
Make it loud. Make it.
name. Glorious. Glorious. Your way with us, God, as we say yes to your will and your heart.